welcome to the Hometown Real Estate Heroes Podcast. My name is Mitch Steven, and I am the founder, the sponsor, and sometimes even the host of this podcast. And this podcast is designed specifically to help you achieve your financial freedom, no matter where you have to go to find that independence. Our mission is to help you fire your boss and quit your job so that you can free up 2,600 hours a year to find out who you're supposed to be and to become the person you are supposed to become on this planet. So I invite you to subscribe, like, and share so that you can watch others that are on their way or have already accomplished this financial independence and are well on their way to becoming the person they are supposed to be. If you know of a guest that should be on this podcast, please go to 1000houses.com. That's 1000houses.com/podcast2. That's the number 2, /apply.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Hometown Real Estate Heroes. We are excited to have Kim Avant Babb joining us. She is from Landlord Docs 30. That's 30 years without any evictions. So this is very cool. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Miranda. It's an honor.
So first of all, why don't you go ahead and get right into it, telling us a little bit about you, what Landlord Docs 30 is all about, and also what started you down this business path? Why this business?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm a real estate investor, landlord strategist, and an educator. Along with my husband and business partner, we operate Babb Properties, which is the parent company, and Legacy Real Estate Consulting, which is our landlord education arm, which houses Landlord Docs 30. And the story behind the story is that about, 10 years ago, well, let me just go back a little further. We've been managing our own real estate for about 30 years now. And, we created all kinds of forms, systems, and documents to manage our relatives' real estate in addition to ours. And after a while, my husband started coming to me regularly asking me for a blank copy of a lease, a blank copy of our application. And at one point, the light bulb went off and said, wait a minute, there must be value in these documents. And I came up with a bundle, and it was really a compilation of all of the documents that we had compiled over our 30-year property management journey. And last year, 2020, Valentine's Day, actually, we launched Landlord Docs 30, and 30 represents 30 years of a 0% eviction rate. When I say that to people, they're like, they step back and say, 30 years. But yeah, we've had 30 years of 0% eviction.
Very, very cool. So you kind of saw this need in your own real estate investment business and thought that, you know, others probably need these documents too, and kind of swerved that way with offering something in addition to your real estate investment income.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my partner and I, we have been, you know, working a dual track, working 9-to-5s in addition to growing our real estate company. And, this Landlord Docs 30 is the system, like I said, that we compiled over the years and which has grown over the years based on the need and the interaction with our tenant community. And I say that because our lease is a 10-page lease. It's not your typical lease that you're going to buy from an office supply store. And it grew based on the interaction with our tenant. So if issues came up, like, flushing paper towels down the toilet and it backs up the plumbing system, we created a plumbing addendum. That's a part of the bundle. You just run into all sorts of things. Bed bug addendums, lead base paint addendum. I could never say that 5 times, but all of these extra added things were added to our bundle system and to our lease. The other example with the lease clauses that we've incorporated recently is a death clause. We rent properties. We always prepare for the worst, but what is the language in our documents? So we have a death clause. We have a military clause in case we rent to, someone in the military and they're called off the duty. What does that language say? What is your policy? We have a domestic abuse clause. in case there is that situation in one of your properties? What do you do? How do you handle it? So these documents have grown over the journey of our property management lifespan.
So that's amazing, because a lot of the time when you are a real estate investor, particularly a real estate investor that focuses on rentals, there's a lot of the stuff you don't think about.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And what we know based on statistics is that while there are about 50 million rentals in the United States, 16 million of those rentals are owned by small landlords, landlords who own between one and say five rental units. They stumble into that space for different reasons. They may inherit a property, they may purchase a property, they may be given a property, and many times they're winging it. And we don't want people to wing it, because we want to, as we've been blessed to do, to build generational wealth through real estate. And the story behind that story and how we got started was, I call it a motherly nudge. Nice. And I give credit to my mother-in-law every opportunity that I get. And that's Estella Babb, the late Estella Babb. She was 70 years old, still buying real estate. We're from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, fantastic. I love Philly. I lived in Philly for a while. So, yeah.
Awesome. So you may know the neighborhood that we really got our start, which was where my mother-in-law, you know, lived for the, you know, last 60 decades of her life. And she just had just this instinct for real estate. But she also ran across these opportunities because her peers were passing away. Mm-hmm. And typically the family knew that she brought real estate. They would come to her if they didn't want the real estate, or if they were going to lose the real estate, she would buy it. She would come to us and say, you guys need to get into real estate. We were a young couple, not a lot of money, small children. And one time she came across two properties next door to each other, $14,000 apiece. She said, listen, you need to buy the real estate. I'll make you a deal. She was a factory sewer in Philadelphia, but she lived a frugal life and she saved every dime. She made a deal to give us the $14,000 that she had saved for my husband. Now, with the understanding that when she died, he would not get an inheritance. So she helped us buy our first property in Graduate Hospital, which is the first ring neighborhood of Center City. And that was back in 1994.
Oh,
that
wow.
We bought that property for $14,000. And we follow a system of, we buy the cow, we keep the cow, we milk the cow into the next generations. But this cow, this property, this asset, our first one, we decided to sell, to leverage up into multifamily. So we put it on the market the fourth quarter of 2019 for $380,000.
Wow, that's a very good return. That's better than an inheritance. that's like you said, that's better than an inheritance. That is building generational wealth, and that is how you do it.
It's the gift that keeps giving. Mm-hmm. And so that first $14,000 gift from my mother-in-law has translated into a $3 million real estate portfolio.
Yeah, wow. Wow. And that's amazing how you talk about, you know, this generational wealth, how you can leverage these original assets in a way that, like you said, $14,000 has become a $3 million real estate portfolio and has provided you the basis to start this other business, this Landlord Doc 30. So yeah, that's just so incredibly amazing that you've been able to do that.
And what complements that ability is, you're familiar with Graduate Hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We brought at the right time, for the right price, at the right location, and then we leveraged it.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point about strategy and how you can grow that business when you talk about leveraging that right time for the right price. So my question then becomes, how do you know that that's the right time? Like, can you ever truly know? Or what are some of the keys that you can look for to get an idea of where you might be finding a good deal or finding the right time? How do you identify that?
I think the ability to identify it is complemented by education. Okay. We have to continue to educate ourselves if we're going to be in this space. Okay. Whether you own one property or five properties or 10 properties, we have to be, you know, consistent students of this space, which gives us tools, techniques, ideas, and strategies to be able to make different decisions at different times. For example, this initial investment property where we spent $14,000 in 1994, in 2003, it had built so much equity that we did, for those who are familiar with the Burr strategy, we leveraged that property and pulled out $180,000. And that was almost 10 years later. But we had, you know, enough sense. We have been educating ourselves to know that the light bulb went off, that this is a thing, and that we have equity. We can pull that cash out and acquire other assets, which is what we did in that same neighborhood. So to answer your question, we have to constantly educate ourselves, expose ourselves to other people in the business, and leverage and take risk.
Yeah, I like that idea of leveraging and taking risk. And that leverage, we talk so much, you know, I come with a background in personal finance, but we talk a lot about, you know, avoid debt, avoid debt, avoid debt. But I think that you have shown that smart leverage is a key to building a good real estate business. That smart leverage that you talk about.
I certainly agree. And what I'll add to that is a quote that I saw recently that I posted on my Instagram page, which stated that real estate is not risky. Hmm. Not being educated about real estate is what's risky.
I like that. That's really good. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And I think that makes a lot of sense, because I think what's really helped, like you said, scale your business is being educated about when to use leverage, educated about using leverage the right way, and saying, okay, we can see the trend happening in this neighborhood. So we are going to go ahead, leverage that, and we're going to go ahead and get more assets. And I think the key here, what you're talking about, when you're talking about growing your business, getting to that $3 million real estate portfolio, is you're not leveraging for just like for a vacation. You're leveraging for an asset. You're leveraging for something that's going to give back in the future.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I'll compliment that by saying that we have to run, we have to operate our rentals like a business. Mm-hmm. We have to operate our rentals like a business. Even though we're small landlords, we need to have policies in place. We need to have systems in place. We need to have strong tenant relationships in place. We need to have good bookkeeping in place. We have to operate it like a business. If not, times like this, a pandemic, a COVID is going to test us. Mm-hmm. It's going to really test us. And unfortunately, there are some landlords that are being, you know, swept away because they have not been running it like a business, and they don't have enough reserves. They don't have the resources. They don't have the relationship with their tenant to be able to weather the storm. One of the secret sauce, if you will, in my opinion, of how we've been successful to have a 30-year 0% eviction rate is strictly on our screening process. We use our screening process like a dating and a marriage engagement. Like we have turned over 3 properties during COVID. And this screening strategy is a standard, but it's been even heightened because of COVID. And that is getting to know your applicant. I go into a private investigator mode. I'm on recognizance. I'm doing research. I'm on social media. I'm on all the search engines. In addition to the standard rental application, eviction background checking, and all that kind of stuff. And then with COVID, we've had to pivot to virtual. We've incorporated different technologies into our company, like DocuSign, virtual visits of the property. I just had a Zoom meeting with an applicant yesterday. Typically, we're hands-on, although we have a leasing agent that shows our units. But once it gets to the post-qualifications, because we self-manage, then we pick up the ball. And I'm usually meeting the applicant, you know, personally. Well, we had a Zoom. I want to look in your eyes. I want to read your body language when I'm asking you the questions, because we're about to become business partners. You're about to become the on-site property manager of my asset. I need to make sure that we have a connection, that we have an understanding. I'm standing in judgment of you. Really, yeah. Technically, yeah. I'm standing in judgment of you as a person that's going to agree to the terms and the conditions of the prenup, which is the lease, right? You know, it's nothing wrong with a prenup as long as we all agree on the terms and the conditions. And if we do, then it's fine. We can get into a relationship. I can put the ring on your finger, which is the key to my property. And you can reside there as long as you like to. And unless there's something that is not in compliance with a prenup, then unfortunately, that could lead to eviction. And just like divorce, nobody likes that engagement. It turns ugly. The emotions are flying. And so we've been able to avoid that divorce situation. We've been able to avoid eviction because of all the upfront work that we do. One of the other secret spokes in our wheel is the final stage of our screening process is if it's local, we do a site visit to where you currently live. Now, because of COVID, we haven't been able to do that. But how we've pivoted is I requested and the applicants have obliged. They take photographs of at least 4 or 5 photographs of their current residence. Why? I want to see how you're living.
Fair enough.
I want to see how you keep the house, okay? Because if we have invested $40,000 or $70,000 or $100,000 into a gut rehab, it's pristine, it's brand new, and you come in and you don't meet the standard of operation and occupancy, then there's going to be a mismatch. And we have actually declined an applicant based on that.
Wow. And I think the screening process that you go through is probably, even though it feels intense, it's probably a really good reason why you haven't had an eviction in 30 years. Is that fair?
Yes. I share a lot of content on my social media pages, and I went through a video, 8 steps of screening a tenant application, right? And one of the steps is checking out their finances. I want your pay stubs. I want your bank statements, right? And someone pushed back on me and said, well, I'm not comfortable with giving our landlord my bank statement. And I said, then you're not my tenant. Because if you want to live in my property, I need to check and cross-check the flow of all of your money. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what's going to keep my business operating is your ability to pay your rent. So I need to, again, do my due diligence. If you give me a pay stub, I'm going to cross-check if you have direct deposit that's going into your bank account. I don't care that you go to Starbucks and how many times you go out to dinner. I want to check the cash flow. That's my main priority.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And these documents that you provide with, your other business, they let you do all that, right? So that helps systemize it. You talked a little bit earlier about setting up these systems and getting these systems in place that can help you move through this, navigate this a little bit better, a little bit more efficiently. And and so then what you have provide with your landlord docs 30 then also offers a way to help systemize that situation a little bit.
Exactly. And what we have is the full bundle, which are 17 documents. They take you from start to finish. They include, like I mentioned, the lease, the rental application, the bed bug and plumbing addendums, rules and regulations. We do a quarterly maintenance walkthrough. It has that document in there. It has a move in and move out document. So it has the full library of documents that can take you from start to finish. And then if you don't want the full document, we have what's called the starter bundle. If you just want to get started, it has 6 documents, which gets you started with the application, the employer verification form, which is a script of questions that we've compiled that you can ask the employer. We give you the landlord verification script, which is a list of questions that you can ask the landlord. So it gets you started. If you like that and you want to complete the bundle, you come back for the finisher bundle, which gives you the balance of 11 documents, which includes the lease and many other documents. So we believe that you need a system in place and that going through this system repetitively and being committed to it is going to minimize the evictions. We can't guarantee anything, but it's going to minimize it and it's going to increase your potential to get your rent payments on time. These documents have been legally reviewed and approved. They are not state specific. They give you a strong foundation. You can't build a house without a strong foundation. But it's your job as well to just cross-reference them to your state regulations and laws. And if there are additional ones, just add addendums to them.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So what are some of the obstacles you've had to overcome? Now, you talked a little bit about having to deal with different types of tenants, but what are some of the obstacles you've had to overcome while you've been building your real estate, your $3 million real estate empire?
It's really personalities. Yeah. It's overcoming different personalities. For example, and this is a funny story, but it's a true story. We rent to a lot of professionals, but we also rent to college students. And these three young ladies, you know, rented one of our properties. They were three college students. And it was interesting, you know, they were from out of town. One got there first. She took the larger bedroom. And there was, you know, a squabble and a disagreement. And they called me and they wanted me to act like a house mother and come in and resolve the situation. Yeah. I said, hold up, wait a minute. I'm your landlord. I'm not like a dorm, you know, advisor. You all have to figure that out. Your job is to send me the rent. And they figured it out. I mean, I gave them some suggestions to bring in a neutral party, but that was one. But the other one was, these are our assets. Our rentals are our assets, right? Mm-hmm. The closest time, I put my finger up, the closest time we ever came to feeling like we may need to evict someone was the first time we rented to a family member. Mm-hmm. And that couple separated, the wife stayed, she brought in a female friend, and the female friend unfortunately befriended the local neighborhood drug dealer.
Oh, dear.
Right? Who was visiting frequently. And we get a call because we have eyes on the block. And the call was, I didn't know you were renting to the local drug dealer. Wait a minute. I'm not. Yeah, exactly. No, we're not. And so, of course, I reached out to my tenant and I got pushback. There's this ownership, you know, attitude. Well, this is my house. I can have anyone here that I want. I said, no, you can't. Based on the lease, there can be no drug activity or paraphernalia or activity in my property. And at that time in that neighborhood, the district attorney's office, they were taking properties for drug activity. And so, you know, we got, you know, very frazzled by it, had to make some decisions. And the long story short was they were 3 months away from the termination of their lease. So we prayed on it. We slow rolled it. We did not renew their lease. But it was, you know, it was a tentative time because in that instance, you know, a tenant was more focused on their personal interests versus the compromising situation that they put our asset in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of possibly being taken because of drug activity and drug movement.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point that, you know, once again, like you said, these are assets. And when you are vetting these tenants and making sure you get the right tenants, you do want to protect that asset of yours. I think that's a really great point. So just as we get ready to wrap it up, if you were talking to somebody who wanted to get started in real estate and get going in real estate, what is your number one piece of advice?
Education. Now, not so much analysis paralysis, but, right. You know, surround yourself with like-minded people or people who are doing it, study them and, you know, save your money and just move strategically, get systems in place, understand your why. Mm. I ask that when I do coaching and when I do speaking. The psychology of the landlord is very important. Why are you doing this? Do you have the skill set to do this? And understand that you also have to figure out the psychology of your tenant, right? And that you've got to run it like a business. If COVID has done nothing else, it has taught us that we must have systems in place, operate these rentals like a business. And also, it's taught us the lesson on whether or not we've over-leveraged our assets. So when you think about getting into it, think about the bigger picture and what your objectives are, what your why is, how you can create legacy in this marketplace, and understand that landlording is a skill set. You cannot wing it. Landlording is a skill set. And we have the systems to help you. We're here for you. And we encourage you to build your wealth through real estate.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, this is Kim Avant-Babb. She is the founder and owner of Landlord Docs 30 and, you know, a real estate empire manager with a large real estate portfolio that she's built up from a single property. So once again, please tell us, Kim, where our listeners can find you.
Absolutely. Please. I invite you to go to my Instagram page at LLDOCS30 and connect with me. Say hi. If you click on my bio, you can take the landlord survey, which is a great opportunity because I value your perspective. Take the survey. If you get to the bottom and write the word or the name Mitch in the comments, I will send you some freebies that will be beneficial to you as you grow your landlord business. We have the 10 top things that you must know to be an effective landlord. We have landlord tips. And we also have emergency rent deferral product that is beneficial right now. So go to our Instagram, LLDOCS30. And also, if you purchase our Landlord Docs 30 bundle, you can get a 20% discount if you use the code LAND20.
LAND20. LAND20 and get some freebies with that code Mitch. So, yes, thank you so much for joining us today on Hometown Real Estate Heroes. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And we hope that you all will join us again next time when we have another amazing guest for our podcast.
This is Mitch Stephen, and I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning into the Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please go to 1000houses.com/podcast2/apply. We invite all our listeners to share our Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast, and also we'd appreciate it if you'd rate and or review our show wherever you listen to your podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. It is our mission to spotlight local real estate entrepreneurs that are killing it in their market and to highlight their strategies and their personal story. It is our intention to help real estate investors learn and grow. Please be sure to subscribe because we are sure that you will find very valuable nuggets in our content-driven episodes. This podcast is my way of giving back, and I would like to personally thank all of the Hometown Real Estate Heroes that have participated or that intend to participate. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners and hope that you tune in and share this with your friends and family often. Thank you very much. We're out of here.